If you would like to follow me in the Bible this morning and read our text, I'm going to be speaking from the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. I really believe firmly in my heart that I have a message for you today that will be most beneficial to those who know Christ. I believe it will be instructive to those who do not know the Savior. And I believe it might be challenging to those who up to this time have had no spiritual interest. My subject is a good hope through grace. Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16, Paul writes, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself." Our Lord Jesus Christ himself. "And God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." There was an old-timer called Richard Baxter. I have his works in my library and have spent some time with him. He wrote the book entitled The Saints' Everlasting Rest. And I believe that's been out lately, been republished. But anyway, Richard Baxter said this, "I preach as one who may never preach again. I preach as a dying man to dying men." Now, my friends, I am conscious of the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die. I'm going to die. And the years are moving along rapidly. And it won't be so awful long till I shall go the way from which I shall not return. It won't be so awful long before they're going to say the Master's come and he's calling for you. It's appointed unto me and once to die. And after that, the judgment. So I'm interested in a good hope. I realize I'm a dying man and I realize I'm preaching to dying men. And I realize eternity is mighty near at hand. I realize I'm in the sunset years of life. That's perfectly obvious to you, and that's obvious to me. And I'm interested in a good hope. I'm interested in some assurance in life. I want to have some assurance, some confidence of an interest in Christ. And I want to have some comfort in death. I don't want to come to the day of my death uncertain and unstable, do you? I want to have some comfort in death. And I want to have some hope for eternity. So I ask this question, first of all, what is a good hope? What would you call a good hope? Our text says God hath given us a good hope. Well, what would you call a good hope? Well, could I tell you what I believe a good hope is? Now, I'm going to give you six or seven things. First of all, being born in sin. And I know that I was born in sin. Like David said, I was shapen in iniquity. I was born in sin, and so were you. I was born in sin. I'm a son of Adam. I was with Adam in the fall. I have the root of sin and iniquity in me. That's in me. That dwells in me. Paul said, sin dwelleth in me. When I would do good, he said, evil is present with me. My parents didn't have to teach me to lie. They didn't have to teach me to be envious and jealous and proud. They didn't have to teach me to hate people. You see, I was born with that nature. That just comes natural to hate. It doesn't come natural to love. It comes natural to hate. It doesn't come natural to be generous. It comes natural to be greedy. We have a nature, a root of sin in us that was born in us. It's born in every son of Adam. Now, a good hope, you know what a good hope would be to me? It'd be to be born again, to have a new nature. In Adam I received an old nature, in Christ to receive a new nature, a nature that loves as spontaneously as that old nature hates, a nature that's spontaneously generous as that old nature is spontaneously greedy, a new nature, a new root. A new life, the life of God. That's what I'm interested in. And I'd call that a good hope, wouldn't you? To be born again. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot even understand the kingdom of God. So I would say that a good hope, first of all, is to be born again. And then secondly, having no righteousness, I don't have any righteousness of my own. You don't either. There's no goodness in us. The Bible says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what it says. And it says, in the flesh, no man can please God. And then Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, we all do fade as the leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, has driven us away. Our righteousnesses are filthy rags in God's sight. Oh, they look pretty good to us, and they look pretty good to our preaching. They look pretty good to our neighbor, but they don't look too good to God, because he sees the bottom of them. He sees the source, and he sees the motive. That God sees all those things. So I don't have any righteousness of my own. I don't have any goodness in me by nature. And a good hope to me would be to be clothed in the righteousness and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd be a good hope. To stand before God, as Paul said, without fault, without blame, unreprovable in his sight. That'd be a good hope, wouldn't it? Holy, Paul said in Ephesians 1, and unblameable in the sight of God. That'd be a good hope. You know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul talked about those religious people of his day. He says, my heart's burden for them. I want them to be saved. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They have a religious zeal and enthusiasm, but it's not according to knowledge. Not according to knowledge. He said they're going about to establish their own righteousness and will not submit to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, the goal of the law for righteousness to them that believe. That's the righteousness I want. I want that righteousness old John Jasper, the preacher from Richmond, Virginia, back during the Civil War, who pastored one of the largest black churches of the South, and he was famous, and people came from many miles to hear John Jasper preach. And one day a man walked up to him, and probably in ridicule and mockery, said, John Jasper, you think you're going to heaven? And the old black preacher said, yes, sir, I believe that I am. Well, he said, let me ask you a question, John Jasper. He said, when you get to heaven, and somebody meets you at the gate, and they say to you, John Jasper, what right have you got to be here? What are you going to say? And John Jasper replied, I'm going to answer, if somebody asks me what right have I got to be in heaven, I'm going to answer, I got no right to be here at all. I'm not here on my rights. I'm here on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. My friend, that's what I want. I'd call that a good hope. Not to be accepted in my works and deeds and fruits and labors, but to be accepted in the Beloved. Clothed in that blessed wedding garment of righteousness. You know, the old song leader said, when I stand before his throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, then, O Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. And another hymn writer said, with his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as God's own Son. That'd be a pretty good hope, wouldn't it? To be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then thirdly, being guilty of sin before God's justice, and I am, you are. Being guilty of rebellion against God in our father Adam back yonder in the Garden of Eden. We rebelled against God. We fell in Adam. In Adam, judgment, death, condemnation, sin passed upon all men. In one man we died. That's what the Scripture says, Romans 5. And having my hands with all the rest of this race dripping red with the blood of God's own Son. Yes, sir. When they cried, crucify him, my voice was just about as loud as anybody else's, and yours was too. I'm guilty of sin. I'm guilty of sin by choice, by practice, by nature, by birth. That's right. Guilty of sin. Well, I'll tell you this, a good hope would be to hear God say, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, Paul wrote in Romans 4:7-8, blessed is the man to whom God will not charge sin. Happy is the man to whom God imputeth not iniquity. Now you think about that. My sins are gone. All my sins are gone. Washed in the blood of Christ. Cleansed by the precious fountain of blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross. My sins are gone. My sins, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross. I bear them no more. It is well, praise the Lord, with my soul. That'd be a good hope. That'd be a good hope. All right, fourthly. Being frail flesh, and I am. Being frail flesh, and so are you. And subject to trial. And subject to temptations. All manner of temptations. In the world you shall have tribulation, temptations, and trials. And also subject to the onslaughts of the evil one. You know when our Lord taught his disciples to pray? He said, you pray, deliver us from the evil one. You know he warned Peter? Peter was boasting about what he'd do and what he wouldn't do. And the Lord Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired you that he might sift you as wheat. Let me tell you something, friend. You're no match for his subtlety. You're no match for his power. And you don't want to get in the ring with him either. I hear these TV preachers talking about rebuking the devil and driving the devil away and saying smart things to the devil. Let me tell you something, friend. That just shows one thing. They don't know the first thing about Satan and who he is or anything about him. Did you know that Michael, the archangel, would not challenge Satan? He said, the Lord rebuke thee, Lucifer. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. I know he's not almighty. God's almighty, but he's mighty. I know he's not omnipotent. God is, but Satan's not, but he's awful powerful. I know that he's an adversary, or a roaring lion that seeketh whom he may devour. And I know he's been in the business. He's been in the business of deceiving men for 6,000 years. I know he knows more about human nature than anybody else except God. And you don't want to challenge him, and you don't want to do business with him. You want to turn him over to your Savior and your Lord. That's right. When Satan's around, you want to say, Lord, you deliver me. I can't deliver myself. But I tell you, we're frail flesh, and we're subject to fall. We're subject to fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. That's what Scripture says. And you know what a good hope would be? A good hope would be one that will enable me, by the grace of God, to continue in the faith of Christ as long as I live. You know, Scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know, Scripture says in Hebrews 3, Jesus Christ is the Son over his house, whose house we are, if we continue steadfastly unto the end. The Bible doesn't hold out any hope to a man who runs half a race or three quarters of a race. But to the ones who finish the race, the crown goes to those who cross the line. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've what? Kept the faith. When it talks about the Old Testament believers, it says they all died in faith. They all died. That's true. They all died. But brother, let me tell you something. These folk died in faith. And they weren't looking back to an experience they had in the junior department 45 years ago. They weren't looking back to a profession of faith they made in a hotshot revival campaign under a Hollywood evangelist and called it salvation. They died in the faith. In the faith. John said they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. That's salvation. It's continuing in Christ. All right. Fifthly, being a dying man. As I said at the beginning of this broadcast, I shall one day go the way of all flesh. When that'll be, only God knows. The times, my times are in his hands. And the Scripture tells us that the number of our months are with the Lord. He hath set our bounds, and we cannot pass. Job 14. I'm going to go the way from which I shall not return. I'm going to die. You know what a good hope would be? A good hope would be to be able in that day to die the death of the righteous and my latter end be like his. I fear too many people walk in what we call a profession of faith for a time. And then when they get old, they begin to grasp for some kind of straw, you know, straws of hope at the end. What I want to do is grow stronger in Christ. I want to grow stronger in Christ. I want to come to the end of life and be able to say with David, although my house be not so with God, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is my salvation. This is my desire, although he make it not to grow. I want to come to the end of life and be able to say with Stephen, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Without any fear of dying. To be able to say with Paul, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I don't know why that it seems like the older people get and the nearer they get to God calling them home, they say heaven's their home, but they hold a little harder to this life and a little more firmly to the things of this earth when we ought to be at that day letting them go. We ought to be releasing our grasp on these things. We ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain. I'm ready to be offered. A faith that does not give me strength to live in Christ will be of no benefit when I come to die. What is a good hope? Well, having a corrupt body. And this body's corrupt. This body already is decaying. It's already getting weaker and weaker and weaker. It's already getting frail. It's going back to the dust. That's the goal of this flesh. It's going back to the dust from whence it came. One of these days they're going to put me in the ground. And the worms are going to destroy this body. This body is going to rot and decay. It's a corruptible body. It's a mortal body. It's a shameful body. It's a weak body. It's a sinful body. And it's going back to the dust. 500 years from now, you can't find enough of me to hold in the palm of your hand. It'll be gone. Well, a good hope is that in that day when Christ comes, when the trump of God sounds and the voice of the archangel and the clouds roll back and Christ shall appear, a good hope would be that I'd have a part in that first resurrection. Blessed and holy are they that have a part in that first resurrection. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And that which was buried in shame shall be raised in glory. And that which was put in the ground in weakness shall be raised in power. And that which was put in the ground in the corruption of human flesh shall be brought forth in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what David said? I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Oh, my friend, these eyes shall see him in that day, the Lord that died for me. And all my rising bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee? That'd be a good hope, wouldn't it? Well, in the seventh place, having a desire to forever be with Christ. That's my desire, to forever be with Christ and be conformed to his image. A good hope would be to one day awake with his likeness. You know, John wrote in 1 John 3, behold, what manner of love, what amazing love, what undeserved love, what incomparable love, what unsearchable love the Father hath bestowed upon us of all people, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You can't look at us and tell what we're going to be. You'll have to read it in the Bible. Because we don't show any signs of what we're going to be. We look just like everybody else. Just as depraved outwardly and just as weak and sinful. But when he shall appear, we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We're going to be like Christ. And my friends, that'd be a good hope, wouldn't it? To one day wake up perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. Now we know in part and we preach in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's a good hope. Well, what's the source of this hope? What's the source of a good hope? Where can I get a hope like this? Well, it says in our text, God who loved us, God who loved us, hath given us, he hath given us a good hope through grace. Who gave it to us? God did. This kind of hope is not in ourselves. It's not in ourselves. You can't look within your heart or within your mind and find any comfort or any consolation or any reason to have a good hope. Oh, you know, old John Newton used to say, 'Tis a point I long to know, and oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not?' You can't look within yourself and find any reason for having any hope at all. But I'll tell you, if you'll turn your eyes to Calvary and see where the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, if you'll turn your eyes to heaven's counsels of eternity and see where God in his purpose and grace determined to have a people and gave them to his Son and made Christ their surety, you can have a reason to hope. It's not in ourselves. It's in him. He's the source of a good hope. And it's not in our works. Actually, when we've done everything God commanded us to do, we have to say we're unprofitable servants. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. People talk about doing good works of religion. Let me tell you something. What are good works? Who's done any good works? Who maketh thee to differ? What is thou that thou didst not receive? Whatever I have, if it's any faith or repentance or love or grace manifested in my heart at all, it's not I, it's Christ that dwelleth in me. I can't take credit for something God does. It's him, it's not us. So our hope's not found in our good works. Actually, we don't call them good at all. There's no good in man, it's in Christ. And then our good hope is not in the law. Our good hope is not in the rituals of religion. But it's by his grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen to David in Psalm 65:4. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. That's a blessed man. What was the source of his grace? God. What was the source of his coming to God? God. What was the source of his continuance or perseverance? God. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Not apart from faith, but through faith. And that by the power of God. Listen to David in Psalm 62:1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. I have a good hope, but it was given to me. And it was given to me not as a reward, not as a wage, not as a result of my merit. It was given to me through grace. Grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And by God's grace I see. Grace is unmerited, unmerited favor. And then in the last place, here's my last question. This good hope, what is the foundation of this good hope? Well, let me give you three things, and I want you to think carefully on these three things. First of all, you can examine your hope by these three questions. First of all, is your hope based on the Word of God? Now, my friends, a man can't have a good hope because he feels like it. It can't be because of an experience. It can't be because of a feeling. A good hope is based on the Word of God. God has written his Word, and we can hope if we can find it in his Word. We believe God. We don't believe feelings, and we don't believe experiences, and we don't believe voices we hear, or dreams or visions. We believe God. Listen to David, Psalm 119:49. Remember the Word. Which unto thy servant, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. I believe God will forgive sin because he says so in his word. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God because I read it in God's word. I believe Christ died on the cross for sinners because I read it in God's word. I believe Christ was buried and rose again, ascended to the right hand of God where he intercedes for us because I read it in God's word. I believe he's coming again because I read it in God's Word. I believe God will receive me, the chief of sinners, by faith if I come to him because that's what he says in his Word. Abraham believed the promises of God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And it was not written for his sake alone that it was counted to him for righteousness, but for our sake also, if we'll believe on him who raised Christ from the dead. Your hope must be based on the Word of God. Secondly, our hope is it based on the person and work of Christ. Word of God and on Jesus Christ. Now listen to Paul in 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. And again he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is your hope based on the Word of God? And is your hope built on the person and work of Jesus Christ? Huh? Christ died for our sins. Why should God receive me into his presence? Because Christ died for me. One old hymn writer wrote this, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And by God's grace, I'm heaven bound. But my only hope, my only plea, is that when Christ died, he died for me. Those people at the judgment said, Lord, we preached in your name and did many wonderful works and cast out demons. He said, I never knew you. Not a one of them said, but Lord, you died for me. Oh, that's our hope. And then last of all, is your hope felt in your heart and revealed in your life? If it's a good hope, it'll be felt. A hungry man can't eat without being satisfied. A thirsty man can't drink without being refreshed. A weary man can't lie down without being relaxed, and a naked man can't be clothed without being comfortable. And to be in Christ is to know it.